Night City. Beyond the dark. Beyond the dark.
Ladies and gentlemen, I spoke to this gentleman about 4 years ago, and he was fascinating then. I'm sure he's going to be fascinating again. It's David Nabham, and the book is this time Earthquake Predictions. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Peter. Glad to, I'm very, very pleased to be able to have another chat with your listeners in Liverpool.
Couldn't agree with you more. Now, remind everybody what we spoke about last time.
Do higher probability windows for seismic activity exist on the U.S. West Coast or not? That's what this is all about. And the book you mentioned, by the way, I have to mention this because I was just on Amazon and took a look. It's the number one. It was only it's not even released. It's available for pre-order on Amazon. It's the number one new release in geophysics at this very moment. So I'm very pleased about that. What's gotten everyone's attention is the fact that, well, to encapsulate the last 20 years into 2 minutes for your listeners.
Let me stop you there. You've got a lot longer than 2 minutes. You take your time.
Okay. Every single great earthquake that struck in Los Angeles in the 20th century, the killer quakes, large enough to cause fatalities, struck within a tight three-hour window, either at dawn or at dusk. And moreover, two-thirds of those same temblors transpired within 36 hours of either a new or a full moon. So, you know, obvious gravitational tidal triggering of earthquakes, for Los Angeles anyway. The empirical evidence, overwhelming. And to support that, after, you know, 3 books ago and 20 years ago, I discovered that what I see about Los Angeles, hundreds of the most esteemed scientists on Earth have said about earthquakes generally. There are reams of peer-reviewed papers pointing undisputed fingers at conjoined lunar and solar gravitational tides, the power of the sun and the moon pulling together in tandem during certain times of the year, but all quietly filed away in the dustpan of history. Your countryman, Richard Edmonds, writing in the Edinburgh New Journal of Philosophy back in 1845 is the earliest I could find, so... Imagine if Mr. Edmonds should have wanted to inform the governor of California about his discovery, he should have had to have written it in Spanish because California in those days belonged to Mexico. So this is really an old discovery, but this mantra of earthquake prediction being impossible is just as old. It's and that's what this book is going to bring to an end. I'll just say this. This is my fourth book on the subject, and this time I brought some crack troops with me. There's an incredible preponderance of seismologists and scientists who have finally lost their patience on this matter, too. PIs at NASA, lead scientists at the SETI Institute, chief seismologists at the Bahaba Atomic Research Center in Mumbai, professors emeritus at La Sapienza University, all giving me their permission to publish their correspondence to me verbatim about this matter. So...
Why do you say they've lost their patience? Why have they lost their patience?
Well, because for the last century at least, this litany of impossibility regarding earthquake prediction on the West Coast at least, and you know from there it reverberates all around the world. If you stand up and say anything against this piece of settled science, you're asking for big trouble. I mean, I could give you the litany of great researchers who have been pilloried by the scientific community for having the audacity to imagine that, you know, we've cataloged the 3 billion base pairs of the human genome. We've sent our crafts past the heliopause into interstellar space. We can do anything, except of course we can't predict earthquakes. That matter is going to remain, you know, obviously forever into perpetuity beyond our ken, which is. You know, it's laughable. It's an absurdity. And some of these scientists, you know, they've held their tongue, but now they're not holding their tongue anymore. They're in my book, and what they say is going to be pretty stunning for the readers.
Well, if this is the case, why haven't governments picked up on this? Because surely governments would want to know this.
That's an excellent question, Peter. And, you know, I'm going to be very honest with you. Why don't they care? Human nature... You know, whether you're a civil, scientific, or government authority in California, for example, you worry more about your job, your mortgage, your reputation, your quality of life, than for public safety. And you know, a good example is, if you see something, say something. You guys have that mantra in the UK also about anti-terrorism, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in so many terrorist attacks here in the U.S. over the last couple of years, we find out that the actors were brought to the attention of the authorities. But they have a countervailing mantra about not profiling the very people who would be most likely to be brought to their attention. So it's circular. It turns out that the best thing our government is good for is stringing words together. And I can prove it. Look, anyone in Liverpool with a computer, go to Google and type in San Andreas, moon, earthquakes, tides. And there's been stories that have bounced around the world over just the last couple of weeks about from the LA Times, the London Daily Mail, the Washington Post. These articles are going to pop up, and they're all basically showing a surrender by seismology to admit to these tremendous forces of the moon and the sun actually triggering great quakes. So this shocking admission is interesting on its own, but here's the salient fact that you won't see in any of those articles. None of them will mention something like, therefore, for the 10 million residents of Los Angeles, it seems science has proven that, you know, we're more likely to have an earthquake twice a month during a new or a full moon phase. They purposefully left that fact out. The very powers that they're describing that cause the destruction of cities ebb and flow in such a way that the average person in Los Angeles with a watch and a calendar should be able to track that with ease. But these articles, Washington Post, LA Times, even admitting to this newfound admission of science that, yes, gravitational tides trigger earthquakes on the San Andreas, they didn't even bother to tell people, so you might want to put your slippers under your bed, at the new moon or at the full moon. I spend two chapters explaining how this could be, what the political and cultural reasons are for this. And it's, you know, not that there's a conspiracy or anything, but it's just human nature that if you were the mayor of Los Angeles, for example, Peter, and you were to know for sure that there'd be an earthquake tomorrow, there's really not much you could do about it. You'd be terrified to say anything about it. What, 10 million people flee into the Mojave Desert? That's obviously not going to happen. So what I've done is I've laid out some common sense ideas. You know, nobody's going to prevent the great earthquake that is going to strike Los Angeles, and it's on the very near horizon. My point is just informing people about some common sense things they can do. The greatest weapon in any enemy's arsenal is that of surprise, and it's my desire to take that surprise away from evidencing the next great earthquake striking in Los Angeles.
Is this a hard book to read?
No, that's an excellent question. I'm glad you brought that up. There's no tensor calculus required. It's the most plain English book you could imagine. It's just a great scientific detective story. It starts with at the very beginning of this idea of earthquake prediction. Lucretius and Aristotle and many great minds in the past have the idea that it could never be done was never this is a modern invention. Great Roman and Greek and Arabic writers wondered about earthquakes, and so the book starts with the entire panoply of earthquake prediction and how it has been demonized, and it's just a very easy book to read. You don't need to be to have a wall full of sheepskins to understand the book. It's very, very simple.
Was it a hard book to write?
Well, this is my fourth book in 20 years, and I'll tell you, it was. I'm the reason I wrote the first book to bring your listeners up to date. This whole thing started in the late 90s. I was thrown out of my lived in Los Angeles, and I was thrown out of my bed four times at dawn, four times. And between the late 90s, from 87 to 94, and by the fourth, all at dawn, all within minutes of each other. A couple of the earthquakes were 1 minute apart, separated by 4 years. And as I dusted myself off the fourth time and looked around at my other 10 million compatriots there in Los Angeles and wondering why no one had noticed, no one was saying what I was thinking. How could this possibly be that these coincidences like that, they don't happen in science. And so At that point, I took I started looking at the series of great earthquakes that, that took place before 1987, and lo and behold, as I said, the history of great earthquakes in Los Angeles just screams gravitational tides. So the easy part is simply just speaking as I'm speaking to you now, saying this in very plain English. My theory is simple enough that it could be written on the back of a postcard. Higher probability windows for seismicity may indeed exist on the U.S. West Coast, specifically at dawn and at dusk during new and full moons on the U.S. West Coast. Now, these other great seismologists and scientists that I told you about that are in this version of the book, obviously, gravitational tides are not the only game in town. What I've come to realize over 20 years, there's at least a dozen great precursors that are being studied all around the world, and each of these experts that are in my book explain in detail how hydrochemical venting of gases, for example, could indicate an earthquake coming, or changes in the electrical conductivity along a fault line, or what satellites are doing to take a look at focusing on where the next great earthquake may strike. There's a dozen of them. So when people tell you, oh, no, no, earthquake prediction is impossible, they're the same people, they're the descendants of the same people who told you that if man had, you know, if God had wanted man to fly, he'd have given him wings. It's, you're going to see very, you know, in your lifetime, in our lifetime, both, we're going to see a couple of things. We're going to see earthquake prediction being a reality. And unfortunately, we're going to see the big one strike in Los Angeles. So I'm just hoping we can get the one before the other so that we can ameliorate the effects of the first.
What do you want? If you were in charge, what do you want to happen? It's a free range. Governments are listening to you. What do you want?
Well, I'd like for the governor of California to hear exactly what I just told you. And it's, again, the scientific method is very simple. I'm not proposing that people stop what they're doing and crown me the seismic messiah. That's not it at all. I could actually be wrong. It's very simple. I would like for the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council, there is a governmental body in California who is the be-all and say-all about these matters, I would like them to simply take up the challenge, take up the data in my book, weigh it in public, and then give a verdict to the people of the state of California. If it's right, say so. If it's wrong, say so. If there's some modicum of it that's that flirts with the truth, but there's a few things wrong, fix it. And if it turns out that I have it right, and it's so simple, this could be, I'm certain with these big brains, they'd be able to do this in a weekend. As I said, it's just as simple as there's a higher probability for earthquakes during dawn and dusk at new and full moons based on the tremendous warping power of the sun and the moon lined up in tandem. If that is the case, then the governor should say so. The governor of the state of California, just say so. Not do anything. No great panel of, clunky bureaucracy set into place. Look, I'm sure in England, when you go to your national parks, if you go mountain climbing, you go up into the higher elevations, you'll see a sign every once in a while saying, "Oh, you know, if you see the rain clouds, if thunderstorms are approaching, be safe. You know, go down. You could be struck by lightning." We have those signs here in the United States too. It's common sense. That doesn't mean somebody's predicting that you're going to be struck by lightning. So it only means, you know, there's a common sense higher probability that if you go up climbing to the top of a mountain during a thunderstorm, you're more likely to be struck with lightning. Well, what I'm saying is, if you are living in Los Angeles and, you know, the San Andreas has not ruptured since 1857, it's the big one is very, it's on the near horizon. We're going to see the catastrophic results in Los Angeles within months, not within decades. You know, it's 20, 30, 40, 50 months away. It's not decades away anymore. My point is that...
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, my point is that if you... just saying, you know, there's a higher probability, so on these certain days that everybody can figure out on their own, everyone with a calendar knows when the moon is full and new. And in my book, I've I've cataloged some certain dates that are even more pregnant with that kind of tidal probability. Just take precautions. That's the perfect time to have a chat with the family about, to check your earthquake preparedness kit, to bring something heavy down during construction that you might just put down for the day and do it some other day. You know, to make comments, 10 million people making tens of millions of choices with their own lives, making things a little bit safer. When the great quake does strike, if it strikes as I say it will, that could make a great difference.
Will people poo-poo your book? Will there be people against you?
Not this time. Not this time. Well, Peter, the greatest seismologist in Italy is within my pages. The principal investigator at NASA, one of the Dr. Freund, Carlo Duglioni, the retired chief seismologist at the Bahaba Atomic Research Center, V.I. Kolvankar. I've got there's people in this book that you wouldn't imagine would be in an earthquake book. They're the most esteemed scientists on planet Earth, and they're not saying that, you know, oh, David Nabhan is great and a genius, and we support everything he says. But what they're saying is, you know, basically colluding with me in a common sense fashion to debunk the idea that we'll never solve this problem. They're busily solving this problem right now, not with gravitational tides. Dr. Freund has put $2 million of his own money into a dozen satellites that he wants NASA to put in the into orbit that would use infrared detection along the great fault lines to determine whether high energy bursts in the upper atmosphere would indicate an earthquake on the coming up. Each of them are busy with, as I said, about a dozen different endeavors. I don't know which one is, or all, or none, might come to fruition, but the idea that science is just going to sit here sucking on a lollipop and repeating the same old tired routine, you know, earthquake prediction is impossible, says who? That's basically what the book is saying, you know, says who? If you look back into history, Einstein never said that, Newton never said that, Stephen Hawking, Bertrand Russell, none of these great geniuses ever said a word to that effect, so... people might have poo-pooed my first or second book. This book, it's not going to be poo-pooed. It's going to set off a firestorm.
Will you actually send this to somebody like Obama to make
Pardon
sure
me?
He gets it? Would you send this book to somebody like the President Obama to make sure he gets it?
Well, you know, the governor of California knows who I am, and it's, you know, I don't want to be that, there's been two or three fellows like me in the past that went hat in hand to the government and politely said this, and the results never worked out well. As you may be able to tell from my tone, I'm not one of those guys. I've done my due diligence with the governor. He knows who I am. I've sent him faxes, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm going to let the media inform him about what's happening. I'm going to let the, on my website, I'm at www.earthquakepredictors.com. I end every media interview, and I've got it with referencing the link on my website. There's a link there to the governor's email where regular people who hear me on the air or read my book can email him and say, hey, what's going on here? I heard Mr. Nabhan speak. He doesn't sound insane. And I looked at the data. All those earthquakes that he said struck at dawn and at dusk during noon and full moon, you know, they're in the World Almanac. I didn't need to go to the NASA Harvard Astrophysics data system, and they're very easy to see that he's telling the truth. Why aren't you putting his work in front of the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council? And let's get a yes or a no on this. So that's the way I'm going to pester them. I'm not going to be that guy that camps out in front of their offices and where the security is called on them. I've already informed them who I am, and my books speak louder than and the hundreds of thousands of people that go to my website and send missives off to them would probably speak louder than my begging for an audience with the governor, for example.
David, your passion and excitement is coming over loud and clear with this book. You really are, aren't you, about this book?
Well, it's been 20 years, and the beauty of it is I've been waiting for some crack troops to side with me, and that's why I focused on those great scientists and those great seismologists. You know, I have nothing against the United States Geological Survey. As a matter of fact, I have great respect for them. They're the $1.1 billion, 9,000 people, great people. They've done everything to find our resources in this country and manage our wildlife. They're one of the superlative scientific bodies on Earth. So I want to at least say that. Now, that if they've gone off the rails on this earthquake prediction is impossible stuff. If I'm a gadfly, I'm trying to do some corrective surgery here. It's not that I'm trying to call any attention to the fact of what an awful a body that they are. They're a superlative scientific body. They've made a mistake. That happens. And you know they've changed quite a bit. If it were 3 years ago, if you'd gone to their website, you'd have seen all kinds of nonsense about earthquake prediction. They've scrubbed it. They've ditched it. They're moving as far away and as fast as they can from it. If you go there now and you look for earthquake prediction, you'll see a very tame, we don't really know at this point. We're looking at the facts, which is the only thing I have wanted over the last 20 years. So when I came on the scene in 96, that wasn't the case. The Los Angeles Times branded me I'm not going to get into the old history of it, but they didn't say polite things about me. It was, and they never said anything polite about the few fellows that went before me. But you know, that's what happens with most pioneers. And I'm not begrudging or whining about it. I'm just happy now that we can get this in front of the 50 million people on the West Coast. Maybe get the civil and scientific authorities to weigh it properly and see if we can't put this. It's either correct or incorrect or some version thereof, and I think 50 million people at risk deserve to find out which of those it is.
How can they find out more about you and the book?
Well, again, the title of the book is Earthquake Prediction: Dawn of the New Seismology. It's published by one of the great New York publishing houses. It was just available for pre-order last Friday, and it's already, as I said, number one in the on Amazon. It's going to be in every format, Barnes & Noble, all the bookstores in the UK about which I'm not aware, but I know it'll be on Amazon there and in every format and throughout the English-speaking world. And anybody who wants to hear this interview or the ones, the 300 before, or wants to check out the data that I mentioned, please go to my website at www.earthquakepredictors.com, and you will find the link to the governor's office there as well.
You're an interesting, fascinating man. I love your excitement. I love your passion. David Napham, thank you very much. The book's called Earthquake Prediction. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. My pleasure.
This is Late Night City with Pete Price.